Amy, on this podcast, we try to always offer useful takeaways. And if you learn nothing else from us, learn this useful parenting lesson by Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 are the ultimate parent hack, the best diaper to use as soon as your baby starts standing or walking. Instead of ordinary diaper tabs, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your wild child.
Pampers Cruisers 360 makes it so easy to change your baby. Who probably doesn't stop moving just because they need a diaper changed? Just slide on to apply and away they go.
And fear not, parents. Pampers Cruisers 360 offers an up to 100% leak-free fit. And they just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we say more?
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupons, savings, and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value. If anybody would like a soda or a beer, please see me, Amy Wilson.
What fresh hell?
Laughing in the face of motherhood. Best way through the living room is just careening off all of the items within it. With Margaret Apples
and Amy Wilson.
So I'm wrong, but I'm right. It's what I'm saying.
A podcast that solves today's parenting dilemmas
so you don't have to. You're a really weird kid. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood. This is Margaret.
And this is Amy. We have a really funny episode this week, but first, mailbag.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute. Time for mailbag.
Wait.
Check the mailbag.
Amy and Margaret, look and see.
Oh, yeah.
Is there a letter in your bag to read?
Today's mailbag comes from Kelly. Kelly says, I can't begin to tell you how excited it made me to get a shout out for my Star Wars favors, especially after I had laughed so hard I would have wet my pants if I wasn't sitting listening to the Darth Vader stripper story. Hope I make mailbag. Well, Kelly, your dreams have come true today. You made mailbag.
All you have to do is say we make you laugh so hard that you might be incontinent.
And she also wants to clarify that the t-shirt pack was $20 and the socks were $7, because I feel that I did come after Kelly a little bit and I was like, whoa. Let's not start talking about t-shirts and socks as goodie bag favors, because slow your roll. So she wants to be clear that she's not an OTT mom. She's just a person who found cheap Star Wars.
It's not like she made each individual Star Wars shirt on a Cricut machine or something like that.
Oh, this was another thing that, wow, the internet erupted, people. A Cricut machine. We apparently, people in the South and the Pacific
Midwest,
Northwest.
Indiana, we're hearing that. Yeah.
Yeah, are monogramming stuff like all day, every day. They can't stop, won't stop with the
everything.
Cricut.
Mm-hmm. And we called it a cry cut. And I want to defend myself by saying, as a spelling bee champion who is very aware of the rules of phonics, cry cut is how you pronounce that collection of letters.
Wait, Amy, I'm going to push back on that one. It's spelled cricket and it has an antenna on top of the C.
It's spelled C-R-I-C-U-T. And the rules of phonics dictate that you would pronounce that cry cut.
But isn't that the word cricket? Am I missing something?
No, cricket is spelled C-R-I-C-K.
Oh, you're right, with a K. You're right.
You need the blend. You need the two consonants after the vowel to make it a short I. Well, I'm wrong, but I'm right. It's what I'm saying.
I've learned the classic lesson. If you come for the spelling bee champion, you better shoot to kill, because Amy just came back at me and I do not even know how to spell the word cricket. I looked at that and I was like, isn't that the word cricket?
I'm coming for the cricket company.
Wow. Let me tell you something. We're talking today about That Was So Me. And that was so me because I was a horrible speller as a child. I am still an horrendous speller. And that was so me to think that C-R-I-C-U-T was the word cricket.
I was a great speller as a child, so you can see, and like to be right.
Nothing has changed.
I'll start with my story, my That Was So Me story. This will surprise you 0%, but I remember this party so well. My mother is the oldest of 8 siblings, so I had lots of cool aunts and uncles that weren't like that much older than me. Like when I was little, they were in high school and college. And they were all over at our house for a sort of, you know, raucous, fun outdoor cookout. And I recorded myself, this was so long ago, that I recorded myself on a cassette, like on a tape recorder. and then walked around. I carried it, a recording of my own voice around the party. And the recording was this. It was, attention, attention. If anybody would like a soda or a beer, please see me, Amy Wilson. Attention, attention. And I recorded it like on a loop. I said it like 10 times. And then I just walked around the party carrying a recording of my own voice, waiting for somebody to need something so I could go get it for them.
There's a lot to unpack in that story, as they say, Amy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's performance, it's recording. You were doing, it was your first podcast.
Oh my God, yes. I was already working on my microphone voice. Yes, at like 7.
You did your first podcast. It was called Come See Me for Drinks. It was like attention getting, but also efficient. Like, it really is a lot about you.
Don't stand in line. I'm a kid at a party. Like, I'm having a little bit of fun, but also like none of the grownups are talking to me. So let me be useful. Right. Let me be maximally efficient in this moment.
Yeah. Let me be useful, but also kind of in an attention grabbing way, which I like about it, too. Like, you weren't actually being useful. You were like blaring a recording. You could have easily just said like, you could have put out a table with a sign that was like, see me for drinks.
Right.
But you did something different than that. You made another choice.
I'm not artsy. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not visually creative. I'm more in the auditory space, as we found out.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. But that's very me. I was the oldest kid. I'm, you know, kind of bossy. I see a situation and I decide how I can make it just a little bit better by being in charge in some small way, right? Just give me the charge of something and then I'm annoyed that I'm in charge of everything. That is very me.
I love that. It's interesting for me because I was trying to think of ones for myself and I think that I was more, and I still am, like a malleable middle child. Like, I don't quite have that thing of like, oh, that's exactly when I saw who I was going to be. The example that came to mind, I'm not even sure it's a great one, is that in sixth grade, I went to a Catholic school only for a year, which is going to be illuminated by this story. And they had a playwriting contest. And I was like, this is the moment. Like, I was like, here I come. Right. And I was 10. And I wrote a musical. I mean, it was typed out, but it had musical numbers. And it was a play, like everyone else was like the cat that learned at the farm or whatever. And mine was a 17 minute long musical about a girl who ran off to the city in high school with her boyfriend to live for the rest of their lives together. And it repurposed the songs from the musical Annie to tell this story. It was a jukebox musical. And the teachers like called my parents in and they were like, we think there might be something wrong with her. Like they were like, we're a Catholic school. Like, we don't believe in like running off to New York City to like be with your boyfriend. Like, where did she get this idea? First of all, it was risque. My parents were genuinely perplexed. They were like, what are you thinking about in your spare time? I believe they might have committed a crime to get the money to go run off and live together. Like, it was like what's that early Quentin Tarantino movie? Natural Born Killers. It was kind of like a Natural Born Killers with the featuring the songs from Annie.
Did you rewrite the lyrics or?
I repurposed, yes, some of the lyrics.
Some of the lyrics.
It would have been like, maybe in a house, I have a gun and we could rob a bank. Like, it was a repurposing of the songs from Annie. I rewrote some of the lyrics.
Did it premiere? Did the curtain go up on this show?
Oh, no. I mean, it was buried. It was burned by the nuns and then it was never spoken of again. It was like, it was a great source of shame for my teachers and my parents. And then when I moved to the suburbs, I had a similar thing where they had a little kind of mom's night out and it was a painting night and you were to paint, you know, the guy stands there and he's like, now draw a circle, and you end up with like a moon setting over a lake or something at the end of it. I decided to, you know, improvise a little bit, and I don't know anything about painting. Whatever I was doing, it was wrong and it came out insane looking. And then I said to the group of moms around me, if I rob the neighborhood convenience store this week, you'll be like, we saw it coming at paint night. The faces just kind of fell around me. It wasn't the right bit of humor for like meet the new moms. I was a brand new mom in town, you know? I feel like now people would be like, oh, that's just her, but
Yeah. You got to read the room a little bit.
Not great at reading the room and like not great at knowing where the boundaries of like appropriateness are. I think that's so me.
I definitely like don't read the room sometimes. Like, I'm either like, hide back and don't say anything. Or I come in like, da-da-da-da-da-da, and completely...
Come in a little too hot. Yeah.
And people are like, what? Who? Yeah. I feel that. I think doing the comedy that pushes the envelope is very you. And... I think we should have a fundraiser where we find this script and do it.
God, if only. If we could unsurface that bank robbing lovers musical repurposed to Annie written by a 10-year-old, it would give so much happiness to the world. But I'm sure all copies were burned. Like, I'm telling the story in a funny way, but like, let me tell you that my parents were like, I think we need to get her some psychological help. Like, it was disturbing. It was not normal.
That is what these stories have in common, right? The moment that either your parents realize about you or that you realize about yourself. Like, oh, this is like, this is a thing. This is a thing about me.
You know who's amazing on that is Hyperbole and a Half, if you don't know that site. She captures that moment so well. It's hyperboleandahalf.com. Her name is Allie Brosh,
yes,
I think.
Allie Brosh. She's a genius.
She is a genius. And she tells a lot of her stories are on this theme. And one of them is about being a kid and finding a dinosaur costume and like overcommitting to her identity as a dinosaur. And like her parents being kind of like, okay, we get it, dinosaur. And she's like, no, I'm a meat eater, and like biting people and roaring.
Right,
and
right.
They were like, oh, no.
Yeah, we have all been on the receiving side of like, oh, like this is my child presenting themselves to somebody fully formed. And I don't know what I'm going to do about this, but like too late now, this is who this kid is going to be. So we ask you guys on our Facebook page, what is your wow, that was so me story? What is something you did as a kid that exemplifies exactly who you are now? And I loved this one because it could be me. Kate says she ate her Halloween candy in alphabetical order. Can you imagine coming upon your daughter in her room being like, yes, I'm going to eat the Baby Ruth, then the Butterfingers, then the Caramilks, and so forth through the alphabet.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. It's great, and it's perfect, and it's exactly what we're talking
yes,
about.
Yes, it's like right. Oh, this, to quote my friend's movie, Kissing Jessica Stein, this mother thinks, oh, how this child will suffer, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Or thrive.
Maybe.
But yeah, you're right. Like, this is, I remember I had one of my kids, and I was talking to my sister-in-law who's in, runs a school. And I said, well, whatever, it was preschool or whatever. And I said, oh gosh, you know, he's having trouble sitting still and he's struggling with transitions. That's what we're telling me. She said, yeah, you'll be reading that on his high school evaluations. You know, like that's a thing that stays. Like a kid who struggles with transitions, that's a thing. You know, a kid who lines up the Halloween candy and eats it in alphabetical order, that's a thing.
Oh my gosh. That's so important to remember too. Like when you're dealing, like my spouse did something this morning that drove me nuts. And this isn't the husband crimes episode, so I'm not even going to say what it was. But
listen, we can always take a detour into husband crimes.
But what really chaps one's fanny, right, is that like... I know what happened. I know like he had something for one of our kids that he was like, I got it. I'll take over from here. And he did take over from there for like 3 minutes. And then he lost interest in it. And so he didn't see it through. And so my kid didn't have something he needed today because he wanted to do it and he started to do it. But then he just didn't feel like, you know, then he just wandered away. And that is probably who he has been for a very, very long time. And I know that.
My husband's version of this is that he is, we always say, he's gold star. Like, he wants to be the best at things and, like, he wants to get the right answer. And whenever I ask him a question, like, did you remember to pick up that thing I asked you to pick up? There's two answers. Yes, I did. Or 30-second pause. Well, he tries to think of an excuse for why he did not. You know, like, he'll never say... When I'm in a good mood, it's funny to me. And when I'm in a bad mood, I start screaming and yelling like, I just don't bother thinking of another answer. But like, he can't just be like, nope, forgot that.
Oh, sorry.
The minute I ask him something that he did, you know, not correctly, the gears just start turning, which is like, what is the answer that is not no? That is just so typically him.
Mm. My spouse would get more like mad that you're mad. Like, well, I'm mad that you're mad, right? I'm gonna
I got to come in over you.
I'm going to see you're mad and I'm going to raise you. No, I'm mad, which is a move I'm very familiar with because I thought I had perfected it. But apparently I see it reflected back at me.
Yeah. You guys are like doing battle. Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to hear about some of the things that you guys say were just so you.
Margaret, exciting news. I am about to have a new baby nephew. And believe it or not, this will be my 13th
nephew.
Amy, you're ready to give up your amateur status. You're a pro aunt at this point.
Our family has seen a lot of babies. And as soon as they start standing or walking, I send them all a whole lot of Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 don't have ordinary diaper tabs. Instead, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your newly mobile little one.
Pampers Cruisers 360 offer a gap-free fit that is up to 100% leak-proof, crucial once your baby is quite literally up and at 'em. And that gap-free fit helps prevent your baby from taking off their diaper, a habit you do not want them to get into.
You can say that again. And Pampers Cruisers 360 just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we even elaborate on the need for that, friends? For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value.
More and more, you hear about the importance of electrolytes as part of staying hydrated, because you need the sodium and the potassium, not just the water. And whether you're looking to hydrate during a workout, while traveling, or at the end of a long night, Sports Research Hydrate Electrolytes have got you covered with over 65 trace minerals, 7 essential vitamins, and coconut water powder.
Crisp and refreshing and without any sugar, this is hydration powered by Sports Research. They're little packets you can just grab and take with you to mix into your water bottle on the go. My favorite flavor so far, Amy, gotta be the cherry pomegranate.
Interesting. My high schooler likes the lemon lime, and she keeps a few handy in her backpack for days that she has practice after school. These electrolytes have the sodium and the potassium that you need to go with it in the optimal ratio for daily hydration.
Visit sportsresearch.com and use code WHATFRESH at checkout for 50% off your purchase of Hydrate.
That's Sports Research, SPORTSRESEARCH, sportsresearch.com, and use code WHATFRESH for 50% off your Hydrate electrolytes order. Okay, we're back. I love this one. Nancy says that when she was 6 years old, she fell over the edge of the Grand Canyon. I mean, hopefully not to her death, because she answered this.
Well, she's writing now, so I'm assuming she survived.
It all worked out. She fell over the edge of the Grand Canyon, and a couple of years ago, I walked straight off the edge of a long staircase that I literally did not see, broke a bone running across the road to the grocery store. She's saying, like, this was her, and it started early.
Yeah, I have a kid who we joked, although I will say that I don't think this hasn't lasted as much. When she was little, we were always like, she's ow. That's her calling card. Like, she just would walk across the room and say, ow, 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 ow. And she just bounced from one piece of furniture to the next.
I have three kids. Only one of them has ever had stitches. I shouldn't even say this out loud, right? I got a knock on plastic here. But only one of my kids has had stitches. That child has had them 4 times before their 4th birthday. 4 times stitches, all on the head and face. And it is this kid. It is, just like, I'm just going to move through life and I'm not going to see that, you know, a kitchen countertop right in front of me, because I have more important things to think about.
Yeah. And I'm just going to listen. The best way through the living room is just careening off all of the items within it.
I have to read this one because this is so Brittany, if this is so typically you, I want to meet you. Brittany says when she was little, she spread mud all over her neighbor's truck because he insulted her imaginary friend.
Nice.
10 minutes later, Brittany says, I felt bad about it and tried to sneak a bucket of hot water over to wash it off, but they had already found it. Love this. I love that the neighbor comes at your imaginary friend. First of all, forget that guy, right?
You're not going to take that. You're not going to take that, Brittany.
Your imaginary friend needs somebody to stand up for her. But that what she came up with is like, I'm going to put mud all over his truck. And then she did
it's so great.
And then she was like, it's too much. It's too bad. I have to go fix it. And it was too late.
I have a similar story from before my consciousness. I was maybe 1 year old. And I was in the kitchen. So my mom had 3 kids in 3 years, June, September, September, and I was the 3rd kid. So I spent a lot of time just exploring the world on my own. I mean, there were 3 of us, you know, there was only so many people to take care of 3 kids. We were like functional triplets. And my aunt says that she came in and found me with a bottle of Wesson oil. Like, I don't even know. I think now you just say vegetable oil, but back in the day it was Wesson oil.
Wesson, Carol Brady doing the commercials. Yeah.
The mom from Brady Bunch. Yeah. Was the spokesperson. And I had somehow coated myself in Wesson oil. And so my aunt tries to pick me up out of the Wesson oil and gets me about 4 feet off the ground, you know, to arm height. And then because I'm covered in oil, she dropped me and I fell on the floor in the oil. And she said that I cried for a minute, but then I was just like staring daggers at her. And then she was in the house for 2 more hours. And that when my mom said she was leaving, I walked over and I punched her.
Oh my gosh. 1 year old.
'Cause she dropped me. So like maybe I was like 18 months old, but like for 2 hours, I had nursed the grudge. And then I waited for my opportunity and I struck.
Yep. Yep. You can carry a grudge. I mean, I can see that.
Oh, I am a grudge carrier. I'm a good Irish girl. I can really carry a grudge.
I can read that about you. I have my best friend from high school. She is a grudge carrier. This guy broke up with me when we were like in our early 20s. We bumped into him on the street fully a decade later. And she was like, oh, hi. Like, she was so rude to him.
Oh.
I was a little embarrassed. I'm like, okay, I don't want him to think that I'm still like that mad about it a decade later. But she was. She is the grudge holder extraordinaire.
I had they called it a suite in college. Like, 5 of us lived in the same little apartment thing together. There was one of us who was famous. Don't tell her anything bad about someone, because you could be like, oh, you know, my sister is really annoying me. This girl would be like, your sister's a terrible person. She would take your slight grievance and she would be planning to like attack the person's home. You know, she would just take it all the way.
And you had shared phone lines back then. She could have answered the phone when your sister called or something. That would have been bad. Like, never speak to her again.
Yeah. I mean, she would just take any grudge and run with it.
Love this one. Kristen says, when she was little, she was a history geek. And she loved learning about her town by reading the town clerk's reports. I mean, Kristen, that is so you. I've never met anybody else who did that when they were little. Okay. Imagine Kristen's surprise when in the town clerk annual report, she saw her dad's name and another woman's name under marriages. And she yelled downstairs, Dad, you won't believe it. There's a mistake here in the town report. It says you were married to this other woman. I heard no response, Kristen says. The load of firewood that my dad was carrying dropped to the floor. That was all I heard. That night, my mom sat me down and said, yes, your dad was married before and you have a half-sister. 24 years later, I am the town clerk in my hometown of fewer than 1,000 residents.
There needs to be a movie made about Kristen. Like, this is the most amazing story. I thought it was just, I was laughing already when it was like a little kid reading the town clerk.
Yeah, yeah.
But she was like Nancy Drew. She got to the bottom of it.
Nancy Drew.
And now, just like in the movie, she took over the job. She's basically Batman. Like, she found out about Batman and then Batman chose her to take over the role.
It is the perfect job for her. There's this guy named John. He hosts the Married with Comics podcast. And he says he started a detective agency out of his friend Barbara's garage at age 9. We charged 25 cents a day, just like Encyclopedia Brown. They had one case. He didn't elaborate on what the case was.
I hope they solved it.
I know.
I had this. I opened a restaurant in the kitchen, and this was just so typically my brother. He came back and sent back the food and refused to pay.
Fly in ointment.
Yeah. Yeah. He was like, this is just so typically me. Yeah, that's deep. That's deep.
This is a sweet and sad one. Sarah says she used to hide her sandwiches around the house, because rather than tell my mom I didn't like them and risk hurting her feelings, I hid them and all over the house. No idea why I didn't throw them out, Sarah says.
I have a story kind of like that where I must have been really, really little, like 4 or 5. And in our bedroom was what we used to call a moth closet. Do people still have those? It was like the one closet that you kept things that you didn't want to get eaten by moths, like the good clothes, basically.
Yeah, like a cedar closet if you had it. Yeah, the fur coats, the wedding dress.
Yeah, I mean, there were not fur coats or wedding dresses in there, but it was like my mom's good closet. But it was in my bedroom, because I guess it was like the only, and it wasn't cedar lined or anything. It just had mothball cans hiding in it.
Right. Just had an extra closet, right?
So we used to hide in there all the time, like whenever we're playing hide. So we spent a lot of time in that closet. And I found in the closet this gorgeous pair of velvet shoes. And I was like, my mom would love these shoes. And so I wrapped them up for her for Christmas and put them under the tree.
Oh.
Because I was like, my mom would love these shoes. And then my mom was getting ready for a party and she said, girls, this is crazy, but did any of you take my velvet shoes? And I didn't want to tell her because I had gotten them for her for Christmas. I didn't understand they were already her shoes. And then I started crying and she was like, what did you do with the shoes? And I wouldn't tell her because I didn't want to ruin the Christmas surprise. But eventually she got it out of me. And then, yeah, she opened the gift and she was like, oh, that's very sweet of you. But also, you're a really weird kid.
No, I'm late for the party. I will say you love a funky pair of shoes.
I love shoes and I love finding the right present for people. So I'm still up to that.
Mmm, that is so sweet.
Here's one from Tiffany. First thing that comes to mind is the time I went on a high school trip and we went bowling. I left the bowling alley in my bowling shoes and didn't notice until we got back to the hotel. I still leave things everywhere and my friends are always giving me a hard time about it. Tiffany, same. Once came home from a trip. I shouldn't admit this because if the person hears this, like I will get sued, but I will admit it. I went on a trip, short trip, came home, grabbed my bag, got home. And like a week later, I still hadn't unpacked my bag because that's just how I roll. I threw it in the middle of the living room and, you know, stepped over it 4 million times, open it up. And I'm like, it took me way too long to be like, why are there men's clothes in my bag?
What robber replaced everything that was in my bag?
Why would someone have replaced all the clothes in my bag with some businessman's clothes? Anyway, I had stolen another person's suitcase off of the thing. And for 7 days, I'm sure they were on a trip. Like, I need my clothes for these meetings.
Driving to the airport every day. Right.
And they were calling the airport people every day being like, you've lost my bag. Little did they know it was on the floor of my apartment for 7 full days.
Was there then what?
Never even looked at it.
Dropped it and ran. Goodbye.
Then I just brought it back to the airport and I was like, I forgot my bag. I took this one instead. And they handed it to me and I ran away as fast as possible before any other follow-up questions could be asked. And so to that person, I seriously apologize and I'm sure I will get some really, really bad karma and already have.
Oh my God. What if they listen? All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about what this means, right? If these typically us things are happening at these early, early ages, does this just mean like it's all baked in the cake?
Margaret, it's an exciting news day.
An exciting news day indeed, Amy.
A few years ago, we launched our first spinoff podcast, Toddler Purgatory, hosted by the hilarious Blair Brooks and Molly Lloyd.
And guess what? Now Blair and Molly are back with their all-new podcast, Unsticking It.
You know Blair and Molly as two busy moms and actors. And somewhere between potty training and the pandemic, they both felt like they lost their creative kaboom.
In their new podcast, Unsticking It, they are going to talk about how all of us can get back to what lights us up after motherhood. Amy, I need this.
Me too. And Blair and Molly will be talking to fellow imaginative minds. We're talking actors, artists, and creators of all kinds about how we can all unstick ourselves from whatever muck we're stuck in.
Follow, subscribe, and listen to Unsticking It wherever you get your podcasts.
That's Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter-Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests, too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.
And now, things kids say versus what they mean.
From the What Fresh Hell podcast.
Kids say,
there's nothing to do.
Kids mean,
I have just returned from a birthday party at a trampoline-based Wonderland, and in spite of the fact that I have dozens of toys and an expensive gaming system, I cannot find any way to entertain myself.
Kids say,
I can't find it! I've looked everywhere!
Kids mean,
I briefly looked up from my tablet and the item was not in my direct line of sight. Your turn, Mom.
Kids say,
I'm totally ready to go.
kids mean.
I'm totally ready to go as soon as I get dressed, find my shoes, brush my teeth, and find my coat.
Kids say,
do I have to do everything around here?
Kids mean,
I do literally 1/247th of everything around here, and yet I am outraged that I have been asked to take out the garbage.
This has been Things Kids Say Versus What They Mean.
From the What Fresh Hell podcast.
All right, Amy, are we baked in the cake? Are we just like, the minute you see it, that is your child's destiny? I hope you have some studies.
It's making me think of our Fresh Take interview coming out with Danielle Dick, who wrote a new book called The Child Code. It's a really interesting interview. You should listen to it. And her whole sort of thing is that, yes, children are born sort of genetically wired in a particular way, and that even things like your propensity for risk-taking or how messy you are, all this is genetically part of your makeup. Because we all certainly know, like, our kid who organizes their library books in Dewey Decimal order on their shelf probably has a parent who, you know, also has some of those traits. Maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's you, but that these things are heritable. And that you can shape your kids, but the idea, she says, that, you know, we are largely responsible for how our children behave or turn out is just not true.
I agree with that. I've often said I imagined having children like being handed a lump of clay to mold, and instead having a child is like being handed a human to care for. Like, yeah. That was very surprising to me. But I will say, on the flip side, that every action is not your kid's destiny. And especially, I have a kid who is on the spectrum, and as a young kid had a lot of very specific kind of talents, mental talents, let's say. Like, for example, you could ask this child, what day of the week did Christmas fall on 5 years ago? And he could tell you that day of the week. Mm. On the flip side, he had some challenges with social stuff and learning and functioning in school and other things. As he has gotten older, two things have happened. Some of his social challenges and other challenges have become a lot easier as he's matured. And he has also lost his ability to tell you the day of the week on the calendar.
Wow.
Like, he's losing his superpowers, and he's also catching up socially. And so I think that's a very interesting version of like this, that like he will always be a kid who has certain, you know, markers around his behaviors that we are seeing. He's the kid who struggled with transition, still does not like, this is not a kid you could ever run in and be like, put your tablet down, we're going to the dentist. Like, I know, I never do that with him. You know, like, he's a kid who needs the pump needs to be very primed for this kid, you know. And my guess is he'll be like that when he's 40. I also have a kid who has been very varied in their gender presentation, has been extremely typically gendered for several years, and now, maybe typically isn't the right word,
assigned at birth,
assigned at birth, gendered, like manifesting that in every typical way, and currently is not that way, is kind of exploring a different way of expressing the way they dress and interact with the world. I'm keeping this purposely vague because this is my kid's private business, and, you know, I'm not going to put it out there. But what I'm trying to say is, if this conversation causes you any concern of like, oh my God, my kid who is very, very rigid about the way they do things is never going to change and it's always going to be really hard, that's not right either.
Right, right. Genetics are not destiny.
It's not destiny.
At all.
That's what I mean to say. That's what I want to add into this conversation.
But I think sort of like understanding that the tendency is there. It's that, like I was saying before, the moment, like, oh, this child will suffer. You know, you can be aware of it, and that's something you're going to lean into and help them with. There are many ways that our kids can turn out like us, right? And I have seen in one of my children a like, oh my God, just like me moment. Like, these are the other aha moments that we have when we see in our kids, like, oh my God, like this, that was so my kid. My oldest kid, who was like me, an oldest kid and a people pleaser and whatever, we went to one of those like jump around gyms. It's kind of like a trampoline party place, but they have these all around New York City because you don't have the apartments, you know, and playrooms and basements and backyards. So you will happily pay $20 to go to some like jump around jumper gym, you know, on a Saturday morning to let your kids run around because so they don't wake your neighbors. Anyway, I was there with my three kids. My youngest was a little baby. And then I had these two, you know, boys running around. And my oldest, who was 5 years old at the time, sort of climbed up on top of a bunch of blocks and yelled to everybody, the kids and parents gathered, a group of strangers, by the way, like, hello, hello, can I get everybody's attention, please? Gets everybody's attention. And then he just says to the kids, everybody having a good time? Anybody need any help? You just let me know. And then he went back to playing. And the parents
You're like, actually, the technical way to do that is you record it on a cassette yes. tape and you play it.
Yes.
You're like, I like your style, but I have a couple of notes.
It was the same thing. And like the people who worked there, whose ostensible job it was to do that and make sure everybody was having a good time, but who were like standing in the corner talking to each other, were like, who is this kid? Everybody's reaction was like, who is this kid? And that was my kid. And it's just a funny story. And I saw in my child, like, oh, that's me. Like, that's me. That's him. We are tied this way. And also, like, that kid will suffer for feeling like he's responsible for everybody else having a good time unless I sort of turn him away from those bossy ways.
Well, I have a kid who I'm always, I mean, he is the total me in terms of, like, he will learn a trick and, you know, he's a gymnast. So he'll learn, let's imagine it's like a one-handed handstand or something. And we'll be like at a water park and he's like, there's a lot of people around. Do you think I should try it out? Show it off? Do it? Like he loves to be the center of attention. But then sometimes what happens is that people are like, who's the weird kid doing handstands over there? And I'm like, yeah, hon, listen, if you're going to go out on the stage, you're going to bomb sometimes and like take it from mommy. It doesn't always go great. And he, you know, he's a jokester. He gets in trouble at school. And I'm like, yeah, you're on the razor's edge of comedy here. Like sometimes it goes horribly wrong. But yes, it's like this kid will suffer. For haha, they're going to have a hard time because they are going to always try to be the center of attention and sometimes they're going to bomb versus like, oh, this kid is going to suffer because they're different and weird and it's never going to be okay. And like the difference, we're pointing out the difference between those two things. Like it's going to be okay and your kid is going to do wacky things that are just like you.
Yeah. And hopefully you can recognize that. I mean, you are uniquely able to deal with that when you recognize it as yourself. One of our listeners, Jen, says, my parents like to recall how I never lied or snuck around, but I also never asked permission. So basically, I would just tell them exactly what I was going to do and just disregard their objections because I figured at least they knew where I was and what I was doing. Now my youngest child hates being told what to do. He finds the boundary specifically so he can put one toe over the line. Yep, that's me.
This is like the old joke that was like the parents' curse is I hope you have a child just like you. I think of it all the time. My mom passed away a couple of years ago, but she truly used to delight in it. And my dad always says like, your mom is laughing. Your mom is laughing because I really gave my mom a hard time. And whenever my kids are punks, you know, they're like, we remember it well.
Nicole says her kid can argue his way out of a paper bag. If I say the sky is such a pretty blue color, he'll counter with, actually, it's more of a baby blue with a hint of powder blue.
Oh, he should meet my husband. They would get along really, really yes. well. They would have a lot to talk about.
Yes.
Oh, look at the gopher on the side of the road. Actually, that's a groundhog. They're different than gophers. When you think about it, I'm like,
And it goes back to what we were talking about in the very beginning. Like, that's your kid. That's what your kid does. And you can accept it, but and at the same time be like, oh my God, like, that's so annoying. And I have to gently redirect you from that. I think both responses, there's room for that.
Yeah. And it's not a straight line. Like I have a nephew who has always, always, always been fascinated with World War II history. Okay. Like I'm talking about a 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old, so into World War II. And would read books about it. I mean, this little tiny baby, like sitting with a giant, like World War II tome, you know, I mean, he just was really into it. And famously, when he was a really little kid, like 5 or 6, we were talking about marriage. And we said to him, do you think you would ever get married? And he said, maybe if I could find a girl who looks like Cinderella, but who's really into World War II. And it just became the defining quote of his lifetime. And he is now a PhD student getting a degree in World War II history. Like,
wow.
He went all the way. He found his passion when he was 3 years old. Now, at the same time, this is a little bit the Oprah Winfrey thing where we're always like, Oprah Winfrey's like, I always knew I was going to be Oprah. And it's like, yeah, Oprah, like 100 people thought right, they were going right. to be Oprah. You're the person it happened to. I think that it is much more common for kids when they're little to be like, all I care about. I have a kid right now who is super into animals, planning on opening a platypus rescue in Australia when he grows older.
Nice.
You know, it's a great, hey, great work if you can get it. And I mean, he spends a lot of his days planning the platypus rescue, like how he's going to get the money and how to keep the male and the female platypuses separately. Because as you probably know, the males have a barb that you have to be careful with on their paw. I mean, like we're deep into platypuses around here.
Barbed paw. Wow.
Barbed poisonous paw. Yeah, it's got poison in it. Might be the females. My kid would be so mad if I got that wrong. But like, do I actually believe that his destiny is platypus rescue? Probably not. But it is cute to think about.
But yeah, yeah. Someday if he's a vet, you'll be like, well, I always knew when he was little.
I always saw it coming. That's right. And he could just as easily become like a car mechanic. And I'd be like, oh, what happened to that platypus thing?
It occurs to me, too, that you can go back to these stories about yourself. And they are clues to unlocking things about yourself, like even as a grown-up. Taylor says that as a little kid, she could sit and color forever and be perfectly happy doing it. It was her happy place as a toddler. And now she has a toddler of her own. And it's not that the toddler colors forever. It's that Taylor colors forever. Like she's rediscovered that this is something that really like calms her and relaxes her and zens her out at night to do those like, you know, mandala adult coloring books.
And I think that can be helpful with your kids too. I have a kid who does not like board games at all, like will not basically engage with a board game. And I have a strong feeling that like board games, you know, teach strategy and they're great ways to spend time as a family. And I love board games, but I have to admit, I hate board games. And so I try to sort of give him a little bit of grace around like, he just might really hate board games. Like they are kind of terrible. And I also agree that I kind of hate them. And so that might be okay to just let that go. I also think in examples like the kid who's hiding sandwiches because they don't want their mom to be mad, or a kid who's kind of trying on some different ways of expressing themselves, whether it's gender or whether it's, you know, which art they want to pursue or whatever it is, it can be a good way to have conversations around with your kid. Like if you've known yourself your whole life, for example, to be a people pleaser in ways that have not been totally positive for you, and you see these funny little behaviors coming out in your kid, like don't miss the opportunity to sit down and be like, hey, I see that you're hiding sandwiches because you're afraid it'll hurt my feelings. But remember, if you come to me and say, that sandwich wasn't good for me, I didn't like it, here's what I'd like instead, it solves both of our problems, you know? And so it can be a good way when you see these little behaviors to sort of say, hey, here's why you should not worry about what other people think about what you're doing. Here's where you should not worry about pleasing other people at the detriment to yourself. Here's where you should realize that being the center of attention is fun, but sometimes it's other people's
and
turn.
Sometimes
that's a message I might have
and
missed.
And I would take the other side of that too, that sometimes it's not something you have to talk about. Like if you have a kid who eats her Halloween candy in alphabetical order, or you have a kid who wears the bowling shoes home from the bowling alley, those aren't necessarily things you have to sit down and be like, so I noticed you always forget everything. And so I noticed you really overthink everything. It's more something for you to consider in your heart as a parent, file away and think like this is a way I can help my kids steer my kid without making everything a federal case. Even if 25 years from now, you'll be like, you know what I always remember about you when you were little, it will be the story about that kid.
This was a LOL conversation for me. I could do a billion more of these. Like kids acting weird is my favorite thing. Definitely check out Hyperbole and a Half. Amanda, she captured this so, so well. And when you're done checking out Hyperbole and a Half, we want you to come follow us on Instagram at WhatFreshHellCast.
Yeah, I've been trying to put up some polls on there about episodes. I did a should there be goodie bags. So far, 100% of respondents are saying no, there shouldn't be. So they're on your side, Margaret, on that one.
So if you're pro goodie bag, run from our Instagram. But if not, come and follow us there. And with that, just go be your weird selves like you were when you were kids, people.
Like you always, always were.
Stay weird, friends.
Talk to you next week.
Are you overwhelmed by the things that get in the way of you doing what you want to do? Are you looking for ways to simplify life to better align with your values? Do you want to create space in your schedule so you have room for more of the good stuff? Play, joy, relationships, gratitude, and more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I invite you to check out Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of super smart, compassionate, and thoughtful guests, you'll come away with big picture insights and practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection. I have always believed that small moments and actions matter tremendously. My goal is to help you find agency and space in your life through doable baby steps that will leave you feeling accomplished instead of overwhelmed. Check out Edit Your Life wherever you enjoy your podcasts.
Oh, hey, everybody.
It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory. Two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And this is our new podcast, Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. What happens when your creative spark just seems to disappear? Gone.
Poof.
Bye.
See ya.
What happens when life gets in the way of your creativity instead of nourishing it? That's what happened to Molly and me. We felt like the thing that drove us creatively stopped working and impending doom had in fact impended.
Totally. So we decided to do something about it. And that was steal ideas about getting unstuck from the most creative people we can find. We talked to guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders.
And we're not just talking Bob Ross type paint on paper artists here, though we talk to them too. We're talking to actors, creative directors, dancers, and people who are working hard to be their best creative selves in a world that can sometimes feel real uncreative.
We all have something to teach each other, so let's steal their ideas together.
Join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom. Pandemics, school calendars,
world events, lack of sleep. Oh, get out of there, life gunk.
And let's get back to your best creative self. Subscribe to Unsticking It with Blair and Molly.
You're not going to want to miss an episode.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks.
Unsticking.